If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I grow and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, by grace. How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I grow and breathe. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I grow and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that. I don't know if they're getting taller, I'm getting shorter, but either way, I don't like how that's looking there. Knock it off, guys. We're going to be in the book of Joshua tonight, please, if you grab your Bibles. Joshua, and we're going to be in chapter number 24. Joshua chapter 24. As you find that, if you would stand to your feet as you're able, Joshua 24, look at some familiar verses this evening. Didn't technically plan it this way, but it's our family game night. And why are we having game night? Because there's no school tomorrow, no work tomorrow, for some, that is. And but as we're going to be, we were looking at focusing on the family, taking some of our Sunday nights to focus on growing and strengthening the families of our church, and just putting some emphasis on that. In Joshua 24, very familiar verses, verse number 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verse number 14 and 15, you follow along as I read. The Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was giving a challenge to God's people, and it was a challenge that needed to be given. He said, choose you, not someday, not when you feel like it, when you get around to it. He said, choose today. Make a choice today. There's a few passages of Scripture with Moses, Elijah, where they drew a line and said, you get on one side or the other. You're on God's side or you're on the world's side. And there is only two sides still today. Choose you this day, he said, whom ye will serve. And he said, you've got to choose for yourselves. Everyone does. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me who we're going to serve. But he said this, though. The choice that he could make was at the end of verse number 15. He said, choose who you're going to serve, the gods of the Amorites on the other side of the flood. But the last phrase, he says this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what anyone else does, he says, we will serve the Lord. You may go your direction, but for my house, he said, I can speak for the walls of my house, the four corners that we have, the four walls, as we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to look at this subject tonight about the subject of the family. We'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for our school night already. Thank you for the faithfulness of our parents, our students, the teachers, volunteers, everyone that is investing in these young people's lives to live for you, to serve you, Lord. Lord, I pray and believe that you have a bright future ahead for them as they continue serving the Lord. Pray for your help with the service tonight, Lord, that your will be done. You challenge us this evening about the subject of our families tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Mentioned this last week. It wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago. We had missionary this past week. But our church is only as strong as our homes. Our church is only as strong as our homes, as our families. Our country is as only as strong as the home and the family. And if you know that, there's nothing more attacked in our country today than the home, right? Marriage is being attacked, gender's being attacked, roles are being attacked, and it goes on and on down the list. The home is under attack by Satan, isn't it? It's under attack. Why is Satan attacking the home? Because it is the foundation of our churches, the foundation of our country. The foundation is the structure of the home. This morning, we in our basic training lessons, we looked at the subject of marriage for our adults, for our young people, the subject of dating. And that's the one subject our young people listen to better than any other subject throughout the year. I'm not really sure why, but we send the girls out and the guys in a separate place for that. The greatest ministry and influence in your life is within the walls of your house. The greatest influence that you have is within your own home. Many times we think our greatest influence is at our workplace. No, it's not. The greatest influence we have is at church. And no, it's not. The greatest influence you have is as you go through society and through your day. No, it's within your own home, with your spouse, with your children, the people that live within the walls of your home. That's the greatest ministry that God has given to you. The greatest responsibility that God has given to you are the relationships within your home. Last week, it's been 2 weeks ago now, I'll keep saying that, but you'll figure it out. But we looked at last week really about the family relationships. We know this, that any relationship in life, it takes work. It takes work, it takes labor, it takes effort. Family truly is a gift from God, isn't it? It's a gift from God. That person you're sitting next to tonight is a gift from God. The person you go home to tonight is a gift from God. You say, no, not the person I'm sitting next to. You don't know them that much. They're a gift from God. But also, good job. That was a good time to say some amens, by the way. Brother James was prompting you with that this morning as well. A gift from God, but also a responsibility. Many times the greatest blessings and gifts in our life are the things we neglect and take for granted the most, right? We take for granted. We take for granted our Bible, don't we, sometimes? Just God gave us the eternal, inspired, preserved Word of God, and sometimes we ho-hum through our Bible time, preaching time. It's a gift from God. But that family, that is a gift that God created that spouse for you. The miracle that God has given you, the children or the grandchildren in your home. Can I get an amen on the grandchildren for some of the grandparents? We had Nikki and Devin visiting and had the grandkids here, and they're getting ready to leave. And I said, are you going to try to steal them and just keep them here? And they said, we're trying. I know how that goes. I realized this. When I got married and we had children, I didn't realize how we went like way down the totem pole there. We were going down. It was like, hi, grandkids. And I'm like, hello, mother, father. Remember me, your child? And you went way down on that. That's all right, though. And then you leave the grandchildren with them, right? Take care of them for a while, right? That's a wonder. But it's a gift. And the longer I've gone through life, the more I realize how much of a gift, how much of a miracle and a gift family is in our lives. As you look at that, and as you think about the family relationships between the husband and the wife, between the parents and the children, between siblings, it truly is a gift, but it is a responsibility. The family relationships we looked at, it takes investment of love. Every relationship is built on love. It's built on love. We looked at that this morning about the commandment, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. The instruction for husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. A home should be built on love, right? Shouldn't be built on fear. It should be built on love, right? It should be built on love. It should be built on time. Again, I said it before, but you spell love, and don't correct me, children. I know it's not spelling the word exactly, but you spell love, T-I-M-E, right? Meaning this, that when you show someone you love them, you'll spend time with them. It's hard to tell someone you love them and never go to see them, never talk to them, never call them. You spend time with them. Family takes the investment of your attention. Your attention. People today are more distracted than ever. It scares me as I drive, but it scares me more as I have a child getting ready to drive. And you realize the people that drive around doing this. And you're like, please watch the road. Please look ahead. Pay attention. It takes attention, but so much of our attention is distracted today. Satan's great at that, isn't he? Distracting. Instead of focusing on this, just get your attention somewhere else. It doesn't even have to be something bad, just not on the most important thing in your life. Many people are going to realize that we didn't give attention to those that we love, that we care about until they're gone, until relationships have changed in our lives. But our relationships should get our attention, our time and our attention. Looking someone in the eye and speaking to them and listening to them. And then the family takes the investment of money. Yes, it does. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where you invest your time and your money in, it shows your love, doesn't it? It shows your love. And you invest in things that you care about. We looked at the relationships, first of all, but tonight we're going to look at the family convictions or family rules. The relationship must come first because rules without relationship breeds rebellion. If you're all about the rules, all about the convictions, and there's no relationship there, you're going to push a lot of people away from you, right? So we're going to look at family convictions tonight. As we looked at these verses here, and we see, again, Joshua challenging God's people to serve the Lord. Serve God. Serve Him, the Bible says, in sincerity and in truth. And may that be our desire tonight. That we wouldn't serve hypocritically. We wouldn't serve for selfish motives, but we'd serve Him in sincerity and in truth. You know, you can only fake something for so long, right? And especially within your own home. Again, you can come to church and look like the perfect church family. And we should come to church. I believe we should look nice. We should look our best. We should give God our best. But when you go home, that's the real you, isn't it? That's the real me. And we can have a look when we go out in the workplace or when we go to church, but when you come home, that's the real you, and that's the real me. And that relationship is why that must be most important, but then the convictions, your beliefs, the rules that you live by in your home. And as Joshua challenged them, he said, I want to challenge you to serve the Lord. But he said this, I don't know about you, but he said, for me, we will serve the Lord. I mentioned this before, but that's our theme verse, really, for our family. We have a little plaque by the front door in our house that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be our desire as our families, that we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday. Should we keep going? And then we'd serve the Lord for the rest of our lives. Wouldn't that be great? That's my desire for my family, that we'd serve the Lord for the rest of our lives together. God may move your family in different places, but there's something special about a family that serves God together. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Excuse me. Understanding this, there are no perfect families. There are no perfect homes. Isn't it easy to sit there and say, man, you know, if we had a home like them, and if we were perfect like them, and if we only... There is no perfect home and no perfect family. But that should be what we strive to be, more like Christ, that we be more like Christ. There are many Bible examples for a godly home. I think of the example of Noah, though. Noah. You think of Noah as God commanded Noah to build the ark. Think about that. He built this massive ark. And God gave him some instructions, and he built the ark for years and decades, and his family got together. And although Noah was that preacher of righteousness, no one else got on the ark but his family. And I could assume that he would have loved to have a whole host of people that joined him there. But he got the most precious ones to him there on the ark with him. Right? When the rain came down and the door was shut by the Lord, his family was safe inside. Because they believed God, and they followed Dad. And they listened to Dad that said, we will serve the Lord together as a family. Is there a perfect example of a family in the Bible? No, there's not. Not a single one. But there's a lot of good and godly examples we can follow. As we look at this tonight about family convictions or family rules, every home has rules. Every home has some kind of rules or structures that we follow. But today, many times, many homes today have no rules, no structure. It's chaos. Everyone fends for themselves. There's neglect, abandonment. There's broken homes all around. Again, you look around, and I'm trying to hurt anyone tonight, but the home is being attacked. The home is being attacked today. And there's homes that you go to the home, and there's a house, and there are roles, and there are people in the home, but the structure of the home is just a mess. It's just a mess. I was thinking about it. Every home has rules, like put the toilet seat down, right? We've got that rule in our house. Some can't figure it out. Turn the lights off, all right? As a kid, I remember my parents saying this, we don't own PG&E, turn the lights off. You know what I do now? We don't pay PG&E for our electric. We don't own City of Reading, turn the lights off. And I go through the house, turn the lights off, kids, turn the lights off, close the doors, you know, I'm not heating the outdoors. I'm saying everything my dad and mom used to say to me. Kids, you will repeat everything your parents are telling you at some point to your child. I'm not going to do that. Yes, you are. You're going to do that too. Turn the lights off. Don't punch your brother. Or maybe at some point you're like, you know what, please just punch him. Just do it, all right? Don't do it right now. You have rules. There's a bedtime. There's a bedtime, and all the parents say amen to that, all right? There's a bedtime. If you don't have a bedtime for your children, that's a great time of night. I love the children, but I love it when they go to bed, too. We got bunk beds for the girls. It's their birthdays coming up, and we got their bunk beds put together, and it got kind of late, and it was two nights ago. They decided to have a party until midnight in their new bunk beds, and we're out there going, please. I'll do anything. I was like, I feel like it's a terrorist negotiation process here. I'll give you whatever, give it up, and we'll pass it under the door. We'll do whatever we have to. But there's rules, right? You have rules of how your home functions. Does your wife ever move things around in the house and just totally throw you off? Right? She moves things in the cupboards, or she moves a chair, and you go to walk around at night, and you bump into it and realize that something has moved. I was thinking about that, but maybe your wife has to do nothing at all, and you're confused where things are anyway. I never thought I'd be that husband, and I open the cabinet, where is it? And it's right in front of you. I didn't think I'd be that person. I am that person now. Every home has rules. You have some kind of order, the way that you do things, but every home should have convictions. More than just put the toilet seat down and turn the lights off and close the doors, you should have convictions and rules that you live by. Convictions are beliefs based on God's word that never changes. A conviction is a belief based on God's word that never changes. Does your family have convictions that you live by? Or is it every day, whatever you feel like, whatever you feel like? That's chaos. That's disorder. Too many homes today are run by the children, right? And you go out in public and you see that many times. And the kid is running their parent ragged through the store. And you're like, please let me help you raise your children. But it's not my, that's not my job, that's not my duty. But it's just chaos. There must be rules and order to a home. And guess what? I have information here. God has given us rules to rule our homes by. And guess what? God's way is always best. Rules, convictions. Do you have convictions in your home about electronic devices? Do you have convictions that everybody knows about your TV, about phones? If you don't, you should, and it should be very clear. And guess what? They should be strict. They should probably be more strict than you think that they are. If your kids don't think they're too strict, then you need to tighten them up even more. I'll try to hit that one a little bit further, all right? Do you have rules about friends for your young people, all right, or for you as well? Do you have rules for music, for clothing, for going to church? Do you have rules that you live by in your home? Biblical beliefs, convictions that you can go to the Word of God and say, we believe this because of this verse and why, and be able to explain it. See, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That sounds good, but to actually follow through with it's another story. See, I believe it based on the Word of God, and as Joshua said, this is the direction as a family that we're going. God gave order to the home, first of all, that God is the head of our home. For a home to be right, God should be the head of our home. You see, I thought the husband, the man, was supposed to be the head of the home. No, God is the head of my home. Amen? That God should be the head. As the husband follows Christ, the husband leads the home, and God is the head of our home. Number one, but number two is this, the Bible is our guide. The Bible's the guide, not Google, not CNN, not even Fox News or Newsmax or whatever you are today. That doesn't rule my home. The Bible should be the guide of our homes. Not my feelings, not my flesh, not the kid that's throwing the biggest temper tantrum, but the Bible should be the guide and the rule of our home. So God is the head. The Bible is our guide. The husband and the father is the head of the home. Amen? It's okay to say amen to that. That the husband, that the father is the head of the home. Guess what? That God put in place. Right? We're getting quiet on that one for some reason. I'm not really sure. But that God put the husband, the father in place. I'm not trying to hurt anyone tonight. I'm just preaching the word of God. That God said, the husband's to love your wives, to lead your home as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So as you follow Christ, again, that's why you think, man, I want to be in charge someday, young people. That's a great responsibility. You answer for your home. You answer for the people you have influence over. Many times there's a mom that heads her home because dad is absent, not there, not spiritually involved in some way. And that the mom has taken that leadership role. And that the children's role and duty is to obey and submit to the authority of mom and dad as they lead the home. That is a godly home right there. God is the head, the Bible as our guide, the husband, the father, the head of the home, the wife submitting to her husband as unto the Lord, and the children in obedience. That is a home that is working properly. Guess what? The world doesn't like what we have to say with that, right? The world doesn't like to say what the Bible says about the home, but guess what? The world's view of a home is a disaster, isn't it? If you're looking, young people, at what a home is based on what you see on social media, entertainment, all this stuff, those homes are disasters. They're a mess. If someone has kept a marriage for a couple of years, they're a success story. And if they don't have 12 children with 12 different people, that's the norm today out in society. That is not what God intended for our homes. That was really the introduction. We'll get to the message now tonight. Family convictions for a blessed home. I know you're laughing, kind of like, is he serious? Family convictions for a blessed home. We'll go through these fairly quickly, but number one is this. A conviction that you need to have for your home based on the Word of God is this. We will spend time in God's Word daily. We will spend time in God's Word daily. Many times as Christians today, that God's word is more of just something to carry to church, to set on a shelf, to say that's what I believe, but it's not actually used. May our homes be centered and based around the word of God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11, please. I want to look at these verses tonight with you. A family conviction to serve the Lord is this: we will spend time in God's word daily. We will spend time in God's word daily. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 18. Deuteronomy 11, 18, the Bible says, "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon the gates, and your days, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." As you look at that, God's word said it should be as frontlets between your eyes. Teach them to your children, speaking about them, writing upon the doorposts. What is the Bible saying is that the Bible should be everywhere in our house at all times. Amen? The Bible shouldn't just be, well, we're going to put in our spiritual time and go to church on Sunday. No, it should be every day. It should be every day spending time in God's word as parents, as children, as a family, making big of God's word in your home. God help us if our children know more about entertainers than they do about Bible characters and Bible stories. They can quote statistics from sports teams and athletes, but they can't find a verse in the Word of God. We're missing something today if we can't open our Bibles and learn and study and memorize and spend time in God's Word. I understand you may not have the time or really want to spend time and sit down for hours and do Bible instructions, but teach the Bible to your children. Sing the Bible, memorize the Bible, teach the Word of God in your home. Parents, that is your duty. That's your duty. Young people, that's your responsibility to grow in the Lord. Number one, spend time in God's Word daily. Number two is this: we will be faithful to church. As a family, is that a conviction that you have? We will be faithful to the house of God. Is that a conviction? Or does Sunday come around and everyone takes a poll and says, "Are we going to church today? No, we're going to go somewhere else today." Now, today it's who's sick today? Who's staying home with the kids today? You know, I understand that's the case right now with that. But do you have a conviction? We will be faithful to the house of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We need more church today, not less church. We need more of the house of God, not less of it. So many churches are backing up all their service times and getting rid of them to be more convenient for everybody. Some people think, well, we have different service times you kind of pick a service throughout the week. No, they're all different services. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Special services. Why? Because we need more of God's word, not less. We need more preaching, more time in the house of God. I don't want to scare you with this, but the New Testament Christians, they met daily in the house of God, breaking bread and praying and growing in the Word of God. People were getting saved and baptized and adding to the church daily. We need more of God's house, not less of it. Is it a conviction for you about the house of God? Too many people today, they're raising the next star athletes in America instead of raising godly Christians. It's sweeping the country. I don't know if you notice that. People that are spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and trying to invest in their kids to be some great athlete. I'm sorry, but your kid's not going to be the greatest next star athlete. And that's probably a good thing, all right? But to raise up a godly young man and a godly young lady. That would be a godly husband and father someday. That would be the goal that we have for our home. And part of that is being faithful to church, being faithful to the house of God. It's a conviction, not a preference. Number three is this: we will live holy lives. Do you have the conviction for your home that you're going to live holy, separated lives, that you're not letting the world get in to your home? I guarantee you this, the devil's trying. The devil's working at it. The devil is working at getting into your home. If I can get back on the electronics thing, I will. The devil's working extra to get into phones, devices, TV, music, and all of that, and getting in your home. And there are endless avenues for the devil to get into your home and into mine. If you're not constantly on guard, constantly checking search histories, parental blocks, if you don't know how to do it, guess what? YouTube and Google will help you with that. And go and find a way. And if you can't do it, then get them out. Our kids don't need smartphones with unrestricted access to go ruin their lives. They don't need that. You say, they've got to call mom and dad. They're going to be with an adult. They could use their phone to call mom and dad. It's not worth it. See, our goal is to try to live holy, separated lives to be more like Christ. When's the last time you said, no, you can't wear that? No, you can't watch that? No, you can't listen to that? No, we're not going there. If you've not said that lately, you're not living holy, separated lives. You say, well, what's coming into your home? The devil is trying to attack any and every way that he can. Holy and separated lives. The Bible says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Hey, we should look different than the world, right? We should not know all the sayings the world has to say. I enjoy it, and I'm happy when someone, you know, you hear about someone and they say their name. And I don't know how they get their names for people that sing and act. I don't know how they make up their names. I love it when I think, I have no idea who that is. I couldn't name a song that they sung if you paid me $1 million. I don't even know. And I don't care to know, because we're supposed to be a peculiar people. If the world doesn't look at your life and think, you look different, you talk different, you act different, if they're not thinking that, then we're not living holy, separated lives as we should. Again, the world's model of a family is a disaster. They don't know what they're doing, and they're trying to gather the scraps together. Lastly is this: if you're going to live a family that lives by convictions, by beliefs, do you have the conviction of this? We will serve the Lord together. We will serve the Lord together. Is that a desire you have for your home, that we will serve God together? As a family, do you sing together? I can't help it, whether we're singing congregational songs or there's a special up here, I can't help but sing the songs with them, all right? If you hear me, great. If you don't, that's probably even better. but I can't help it. We sing together. We have fun with that. And sometimes it's just goofy making up stuff, but we sing together as a family. That's important, to sing the praises of God as a family. You say, I can't sing. It doesn't matter. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, whether it's a good noise or a bad noise. Make a joyful noise, but may it be to the Lord. Sing together. Go to church together. Witness together. Go soul winning together. Tell people about Christ together. May we serve God as a family. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you have some convictions for your home? Maybe it's not written down, but maybe it's spoken. Family, here's what we will do and here's what we won't do. Not every man for himself, every person for themselves, but again, God as the head of our home, the Bible as our guide, the husband, the father as the leader, the God-given leader of that home, the wife submitting and leading and caring for the children, and children following in obedience. That is the home that God has intended. That's the way that God intended for a home to be. And you know what? That's a blessed home, right? That's a blessed home. The world's view of a home is a mess. It's a mess. But God's view and how God puts that home together, no, not a single one perfect out there, but how God puts it together, And as you say, we will serve the Lord together. May that be our goal. May that be our desire tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I pray you bless and help them.